Turn over to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4. Genesis chapter 4. Let's begin reading with verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we're not unfamiliar with this passage, and yet I hope that we might bring something out this morning that you emphasized to me this week, Lord, and never quite thought about it in quite this way. I pray, Lord, that you would bless the preaching of the Word of God this morning for somebody that might be lost. Again, as we attempt to address the public, Lord, with tracts and preaching, I pray you'd bless those efforts. Father, Jesus Christ is the only answer this world could ever have. We have the answer, Father, and we have the treasure. I pray that you'd help folks to receive it. We love you, we need you, and we need you to hear your voice this morning here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're in Genesis chapter 4. Man falls in Genesis 3, as you well know. And so by the time you get to Genesis 4, man is a fallen sinner. And all that, you know, festers and pollutes and corrupts and defiles within man's present nature is present by the time you pass from Genesis 3 to Genesis 4. So Adam and Eve start having children. You have Cain and you have Abel. And because those boys are born just like we are, dead in trespasses and sins, all those things that are come with human, inherent to human nature, are present. Nobody's murdered anybody yet, but that's going to change. And nobody's committed adultery yet, and although that's not in this chapter, that's going to change too. And there will be wars fought, and all the pollution of human nature is going to come to the fore, actually within just a few chapters here. In verse 3, that's the case because it's just a matter of time. In verse 3, and in the process of time, and that's all it took. Once man was fallen, boy, it's just a process of time before things start happening. And so, I've preached on this subject before, but never thought of it quite in this way. Starting in verse 4, you have Abel bringing of his flock, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. And that's what I would highlight for you here. God had respect for Abel and his offering. God had not respect for Cain and his offering. Now, that word used to be a word in vogue all the time. It's kind of gone out of vogue now. I remember a time a few years ago where all that you would hear on the news and on TV and on, you know, soap commercials and everything else is respect, respect, respect. That has gradually been massaged away now in, you know, our society, so that now other things have replaced it. It's the same thing, really. Now the watchwords are tolerance and diversity and those sort of things. But there was a day when the word respect and disrespect was so popular that folks just started saying, "Dis." He dissed me, and so I punched him in the nose. Well, they meant disrespect, but it became such an in-vogue thing. That's all they could talk about. That's all they could think of. And we've seen that happen with things like tolerance and open-mindedness. I guess the hippies, dude, were open-minded. That was way, way, way back there. They would be open-minded around a lung full of marijuana. But anyway, they were tolerant and diverse, and the world has constantly massaged this thing so that now all folks are implored and expected by the world to just receive those things and to accept whatever comes down the pike. In fact, now we've come to the day that we are inundated, and basically those things are force-fed to folks. Now, before you allow your mind to run off here, let me just say to all of you here and whoever else might be listening anywhere, I'm really not talking about race here. I realize that we're coming out in the wake of the Confederate a statue issue down south and all that stuff, but this is really not about racism as such. I would point out to you that Cain killed Abel. They were not of different races. They were brothers. They came from the same mama and papa. So this is not a race issue. This goes way beyond race. If you've paid any attention in our country, you know that for now, the better part of really more than that, a half a century, women and men have, by the media and by the press and by the culture, been pitted against each other. And it boils down to respect. Somebody doesn't feel respected. And the pot is stirred, and the pot is stirred, and the pot is stirred, and pretty soon you have basically not just a race war, a gender war. That's happened with sexuality. The gays didn't feel properly respected, and the pot's been stirred and stirred and stirred and stirred, and so now it's been shoved down normal folks' throat. That happened very quickly, by the way, with the transgender issue. But this thing with respect, people used to talk about respect all the time, and now it's bigotry or diversity or tolerance or whatever else. It extends to politics. Now, if you voted for a certain person or not a certain person, you're not showing proper respect for somebody else. If, you know, it comes down to abortion, the abortion issue or the environmental issue or your position on immigration, it goes beyond that, though, because folks fight about all kinds of stuff because somebody doesn't feel properly respected. I knew a guy one time that moved here, and he was a Southerner. And every time somebody pulled out in front of him, he was mad at that stinking Yankee and would almost get in a fight because he didn't feel respected by the Yankees. Packers and Vikings fans get in fist fights all the time because they don't show proper respect for the other team. I've known folks that are Ford guys and Chevy guys that get in a face-off. I'm not talking about in church here, at least not that I know of. And basically it comes to fisticuffs because you're not properly respecting their brand. Look, folks, my point is this morning, I may be in your mind reaching a little bit for this, but I don't think so. Man is a spiritual creature. And as a spiritual creature, he is nonetheless fallen. And would you just notice that after he falls in Genesis 3, the very first thing that comes up is this issue of respect in Genesis chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Respect is the first thing that comes up, that boils up and becomes a pustule that bleeds pus and is agonizing and just exudes all sorts of things and pain for our society for so long. It came up right after the fall, respect. After Cain felt himself, and indeed his sacrifice was disrespected by God. But once he felt himself disrespected, he became irreprovable and unrebukable. He would not listen even to the voice of God. Beyond that, he committed murder. And instead of feeling sorrowful, he lied about it and tried to cover it up. Beyond that, he never admitted it. He never showed any sorrow for murdering his own flesh and blood brother. Think about that. From there it went to a curse. God cursed him. From there he was a vagabond and a fugitive for the rest of his life. From there he exudes self-obsession, narcissism. All he can think about is himself. Is there any bells ringing yet? Is that where our society is, or isn't it? And would you just once again notice that this issue of respect came right after the fall. It's the first thing that comes up. I bet you that Cain was a joy to be around when he was in middle age and going into his latter years. I don't know how long he lived. We're not told when he died. But by the time he reached about 60 of our years, I don't know how old that made him, I bet he was a real pleasure to sit down and have cake with. I bet he was a royal pain in the backside, because he had this chip on his shoulder from the very start God didn't respect him, and so he became this vagabond and this fugitive. And for the rest of his life, he apparently carried not just a mark, but that mark. That mark of being oversensitive, self-obsessed, ready to fight at the drop of a hat, that sort of thing. I want to talk to you this morning about the Lord's respect, because I would point out to you something in the Word of God here. If you will, go over, if you would, to Jude, the little book before Revelation, Jude 11. There's a word here about Cain that I would have you put into your computer to just mull over for a little while. And a warning in the latter days about apostates and false prophets and false teachers. It says in verse 11, Jude 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain." Cain had a way. That way started the day that he found himself, his sacrifice and his person, we talk about that later, not respected by God. And from that day on, he had a chip on his shoulder, and that is the way of Cain. The way of Cain is to carry his chip around on his shoulder all the time and to be combative and resentful and bitter, and it just never ends. There's another thing said about Cain in 1 John chapter 3 that's very insightful. 1 John chapter 3, and go over to verse 12. John 3:12. "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one." Well, that's the devil. And you can read a lot into that verse, and maybe there should be a lot read into the verse or whatever else, but Cain had a certain way. That way revolved around his perception of his person being disrespected, his sacrifice being disrespected. And that was the way of the devil from there on out. We'll say more about that later. But I just want to say, you don't have to commit murder to mess up the rest of your life. You don't have to. And I will just say that when I looked at this from this light, this direction, it sure looks like to me that this first attribute of fallen human nature past Adam and Eve here with Cain and Abel, this respect issue seems to be one of the chief things that keeps fueling this outrage and the heathen rage and demand, imagine a vain thing. It never seems to end these days. There's always some freako mad about something, getting other people stirred up. What's the deal with that? It's the way of Cain. And it really is the way of the devil. I wanted to preach to you for a little while about that, because when it gets down to common denominators, look, Abel was not Cain's problem. And by the way, Adam and Eve were not Cain's problem. Cain's problem, when you swept everything else off the table, the common denominator with Cain was that he had a wrong relationship with God. And I have to just tell you this right now, I believe that that's the reason that folks are angry and infuriated half the time in this country that we live in. You have somebody that's always fomenting wrath. Somebody's always enraged. Somebody is always on the news ranting about something or another. It's not just race. It's not just gender. It's not just sex. It's a little bit of everything. Somebody's mad. A lot of people are mad all the time. What is this? Something's wrong in a relationship with God. And I don't know, getting down to personal things, maybe that's why you're hard to get along with. Maybe that's why your home is not all that it could be, all that it should be, all that you wish it was. Maybe it's because your relationship is not right with God. So let me talk to you about that for a while. I'm going to talk to you about the Lord's respect. It says there that the Lord had respect unto Abel, his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain took it personally, and from that day on, Cain was never the same. There are some observations I'd like to make. First of all, notice something we've read before. Verse 4, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, I can say this with some confidence. Both of those boys, perhaps young men, knew what was right and acceptable. They both knew. They both knew what the Lord would accept, what the Lord would respect, what the Lord would not accept, what the Lord would not respect, what the Lord would bless, and what he would not. You see, how do you know that? Because, look, they had the same mother and father. They both had the same instruction. They were both raised on the same story. They watched Adam pray, and they watched Adam make sacrifices. They both knew commonly what the issue was all about. I don't know, perhaps God even spoke to them and told them what it was all about, but these guys were on an even plane. The plane was level before them. They had equal knowledge about what was necessary. They both knew God required that lamb to make their sins right. Is that reasonable? They both knew what was right, what was acceptable. They both had the same knowledge. If they didn't have the same knowledge before the offering, they certainly did have the same knowledge after, because after the offering, Cain's offering was refused and Abel's was accepted. Now, I don't know exactly how that happened. It could very well have been fire from heaven. It might have been smoke on the altar. I don't know, and I don't really care. I just know they both knew whether they had been respected by God or had not. They both knew. Now, you say, well, there's lots of heathen in this world that have never heard the gospel, so we're not on an even plane. Well, for a little while, let's let the missionaries go to the heathen that never heard. Why don't you worry about the heathen that have heard? Why don't you worry about those that have the same knowledge that I as a Christian have, and yet you've not done anything with it? How about the heathen that have heard? If you haven't heard, I'll tell you. Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture. The perfect sacrifice was made. He suffered and bled and died in agony and reproach for your sins and mine, shed God's blood on a cross so that blood could be applied to your sins, was buried, rose again the third day to ever live and make intercession for us. He's alive. Muhammad's not alive, but Jesus Christ is alive. Buddha never rose up again. I don't even know if he ever floated off the floor. He's certainly not rising up again now. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ rose again. He is the answer. He is the respectful sacrifice. If you will accept him, God will respect your sacrifice. Now we're on an even plane. What are you going to do? God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that right? Yes, it is. Now look, I don't know how God signaled his respect. I don't know. I personally would like to think it was fire on the altar. Maybe it was smoke on the altar. I'm not quite sure. Either way, both those boys, after that sacrifice was made, knew whether or not they had been accepted. Now, look, I don't want to get too millennial here, but we live in a day of passwords and computers, and you've all forgotten a password somewhere and tried to get on some site somewhere to get into your account somewhere, and you forgot your password or changed your password, forgot to write it down, and so on and so forth, and you sit there and peck away, and no matter how you hit that keyboard, you can't get in until you put the right password in. Just keep getting that little red exclamation point, you know. Now, I'm just telling you, again, I don't want to make light or anything, but in a computer age, here's the deal. You want to get in? You got to come through Jesus Christ. If you enter it, everything goes through smooth. No more questions asked, okay, as far as salvation. Now, if you enter the wrong thing, religion. I mean, it's not just an exclamation point. It's not a little quiet red exclamation point. It is a storm siren going off in your living room. Wrong answer. I don't care what you put in there. Religion, baptism, communion, good works, being a good person. My great-granddaddy was a Methodist minister. It's the wrong answer, and I don't care how you slam the keyboard, you're not getting in. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's it. It's the only thing that'll let you in. And I just want to say, and there's something that's evident, both these guys knew the answer. And one was respected and one wasn't. Now, there's another little part to that, because in verse 2, notice, and she, that is Eve, again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, there's a place that these two guys differ. The Lord allows some things to differ. Abel brought of the lamb of his flock. There's no question it was a lamb. In anybody's mind, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It all fits together. It all works. And you know, when you stop and think about it, at first glance, it sure looks like it was easy for Abel. After all, he had chosen as his vocation to be a sheep herder. He owned a flock, so he had sheep running around all over the place. It was easy for him to make the right sacrifice. And as far as poor old Cain's concerned, well, Cain's a farmer. He tills the ground. And so he doesn't have any sheep. So at first, this looks like, you know, Cain has to either pay Abel in money or else trade with him in barter or else humble himself and come and ask. I mean, Abel didn't have to pay anything. He's already raising sheep. Why did God choose that as opposed to watermelons and cantaloupe? Well, I just want to say that in that regard, things aren't the same. God chose sheep to be the answer at that juncture in time. Cain was a farmer. Sheep don't come up out of the ground. And so things aren't quite equal that way. And so you say, well, that's not fair because Abel just went out and got one of his flock. Didn't cost him nothing. Whereas poor old Cain had to go buy a sheep or barter for a sheep or ask for a sheep by humbling himself and saying, Abel, feel sorry for me because I need a sheep and I don't have any money right now. I'm a little bit cash poor right now. So he would have had to humble himself. And maybe that's the case. But the fact of the matter is, with both those boys knowing the answer, both were responsible. And don't look now, but life's not fair. And one of the things that this respect thing breeds is everything has to be fair. And Cain could have gotten a scowl on his face from the very start because he had to go either barter for a sheep or buy a sheep or humble himself and ask his brother for a sheep. And Abel, he just got to walk out to the barn and grab one and go kill it and everything's good and fine. I mean, what kind of advantage is that? How is that fair? Well, how is it fair that you're smart and I'm stupid, but you're lost and I'm saved? How's that work? See, the point is, God makes some circumstances to differ. Everybody doesn't get the same culture. Everybody doesn't get the same amount of money. Everybody doesn't get the same advantage. You may not even get to hear the gospel as much as some of us do in some places where you could go live. But if you have knowledge and God shows you, you're still responsible for it. And by the way, there's another side to that. Because at second glance, I mean, Abel could have resented that his flock had to be reduced just to make his religious sacrifice. I mean, maybe he felt that his livelihood was affected. Maybe he feels like he's responsible to give away sheep to Cain and to Adam and Eve as well, so he could look at it differently. You can be offended about anything. When this issue of respect comes up, I don't care how somebody sneezes, somebody's going to get offended. And so God respected Abel and his offering. And he had no respect for Cain and his offering because the issue is the offering. Now watch this. I want you to see that a person's person is tied up in the sacrifice. Would you notice here? I mean, God is no respecter of persons. Is that right? God doesn't care in accepting you into his family, giving you the new birth. He doesn't care if you're rich or poor, black or white. You could be polka dot with pink polka dots. He does not care. He doesn't matter what kind of desires and illicit passions you've had. He'll receive you if you'll receive him. Amen? Now, with that said, God is not a respecter of persons. But notice in verse 4 something that is true. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had not respect. Now, we are obsessive today. I say we loosely, the world is obsessive. That I should be accepted. That I should be respected. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how freaky I am. I expect society, and I say I loosely, I expect society to respect me and accept me just the way I am. And by proxy, God must respect me and accept me just the way that I am. It doesn't matter how freaky I am. It doesn't matter how weird I am. It doesn't matter how outrageous my behavior. It doesn't matter how I talk. It doesn't matter what I say. I can have a hardware store hanging off my lower lip. And I'm supposed to be respected. I'm supposed to be able to go to any place in the world and get a six-figure job with tattoos running up and down my arms and legs and my face and my neck. And it's all supposed to be good, and everybody's supposed to accept me and respect me the way I am. It doesn't matter that I've gone and been surgically adjusted to be something that I'm not. You're just supposed to respect that. And when it's not respected, then I take it as an attack on my person. Well, buddy, it is. Watch this. Notice in verse 4 that Abel's person was connected with his sacrifice. God didn't respect Abel's person until he respected the sacrifice. Your person is only respected by God as it relates to a sacrifice. Without a sacrifice, he doesn't respect your person. And whatever other sacrifice you bring, he doesn't respect that either. But your person is not respected unless you have the right sacrifice. The sacrifice makes you respectable in God's sight. And I just want to say, that's Jesus Christ. Folks, the Bible says that we walk through the veil of His flesh. Jesus Christ's flesh was torn. When flesh tears, it bleeds. And the picture is you walking through the veil through this sheet of blood, and you come through on the other side bloody, and with Christ's blood, you're clean. But your person is accepted because your sacrifice is accepted. If your sacrifice is unacceptable, Cain, your person is unacceptable. And so you will die and go to hell. Right? And it's not the fact that you couldn't have brought the lamb. It's not the fact that you can't believe on Jesus Christ. The issue is that you won't. And so now you're mad at God for not respecting you. And then he goes and gets in Abel's face in verse 8. I mean, Cain goes and they wind up in an argument. I do not know what was said. I have some ideas. But it doesn't give you a blow-by-blow. It only says in verse 8 that Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that he rose up and killed him. Well, I don't know what they talked about. They had to argue at some level or another, but he's essentially talked to God. God has told him what he must do. Then instead of getting right with God, he goes and gets in Abel's face and then kills Abel. Abel is not your problem. Your relationship with God is your problem. Sometimes the problem in a marriage is not an issue with your spouse. The issue is with you and God. Sometimes the issue with you and your kids has nothing to do with you and your kids. It has more to do with you and God. That goes all the way through. Listen, folks, I know a bunch of heathen raging on the media right now, and what they need to do is simply get right with God. They don't have to be white. They don't have to be Baptist. They don't have to agree with my politics, but they do need to get right with God, because I'm telling you, this thing in human nature just balls up and snowballs down a slope. If you ever get a chip on your shoulder because spiritually you're not right, spiritually you have no peace, spiritually you're not satisfied, it bleeds through into every other phase of your life. And pretty soon you're happy with nothing. Pretty soon you're mad about everything. And pretty soon you're a vagabond like Cain. I just want to say, your person, The acceptance of your person is tied up in your sacrifice. If you have Jesus Christ, that is really all that matters. Can I ask you this? Why do atheists and transgenders care what I think? If that's truly what makes you happy, if that is truly the answer for you, then why are you in my front yard bugging me? What have I got to do with your happiness if that's what's satisfying? That's the problem. That's not what's satisfying. You're a fallen spiritual creature. You've sought things that are stupid and moronic, and now you look like a mutant, and you're still not satisfied, and you're mad because at me, Abel, because God's not accepted you and hasn't given you peace. It's not my problem. The issue is that your person, the respect of your person, is tied up in the sacrifice. And if you're primarily right with God, there's a lot of other things that get right along with it. From another angle, why in the world, as a regenerate child of God, washed in the blood, with the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ resting upon my shoulders, why would I want to be popular with the world? Why would I care what transgenders think? Why would I think that racial harmony outside of Christ was even possible? Because it's not possible. There's no harmony in anything. There's no harmony between the sexes. There's no harmony between men and women unless the men and the women are saved. There's only trouble. My point, folks, is that one's person is tied up in the sacrifice. And the reason that you're a mean, cantankerous, bitter, resentful, unforgiving, hard to get along with person has to do with your relationship with God. Not really that much your relationship with me. Now, if you and I clap butt heads and I'm wrong with God and you're wrong with God, then we both need to go back to the Lord. But Abel's not the problem. Adam and Eve aren't the problem. The Lord's not the problem. Cain's the problem. Now, with that, we can move on to something else. Look, folks, it's around the relationship with God through Jesus Christ that everything swings, that everything is made right, or where everything is wrong. Now, from there, let me ask you once again just to revisit 1 John chapter 3 real fast, because from here on out, this is what's true of Cain. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Cain came, offered an offering that he knew was not going to be acceptable. God had told him, he knew already that what he was offering would not make him acceptable before God. Offers it anyway. The Lord rebukes him. The Lord does not respect it. And by the time it's over, Cain has killed his brother, and he's mad all the way through. And from here on out, Cain is working for the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. After Cain's sacrifice was rejected, not respected, and after Cain refused to get it right, from there on, Cain's entire life was the work of the devil. Look down in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, next verse. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Would you notice that Cain's immediate response to his rejection, God's lack of respect for him and his offering, was wrath? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Have you listened to the news lately? I mean, if you're not, don't worry about it. It's not that big a deal, because it's the same old ranting and raving all the time. And it seems to never end. And they're even more unsettling. There seems to be no answer. No matter what somebody tries to do to appease a group, the group just gets madder and madder. I mean, when the feminazis get up in arms, nothing resolves the issue with the feminazis. If you haven't noticed, we've fallen over backwards. We have done back somersaults, some of us who couldn't even do them, in our government to try to satisfy racial tensions, and it's never solved. The American Indians are never happy, and you say, well, maybe they shouldn't be. Well, maybe they shouldn't, but I tell you what they do need. They do need Jesus Christ, and that would resolve an awful lot of problems. But the fairies aren't happy. The transgenders aren't happy. The Republicans aren't happy. You can't make the Democrats happy. You can't make the liberals happy. The Packers fans aren't happy. Nobody's happy. It just seems like no matter what happens, nobody's happy. You know why nobody's happy? Because they're full of the devil. And from this point on, with Cain, once his sacrifice is rejected, his person's rejected because his sacrifice is unacceptable. He won't come to God as a person through Christ. He expects God to accept his person the way he is. He'll put on a robe of religion, put on a robe of good works, and try to convince Santa Claus that he's been a good boy this year, but he is not going to bring Jesus Christ as a sacrifice and say, this is my sacrifice, I accept this. Not interested. And so his next step is of the devil. He's angry. He's angry enough to kill. He does kill. In fact, he kills his own brother. His own brother is not a different race. His own brother is not a different religion. His own brother is his brother, and he kills his brother. He's not even sorry for killing him. He's so mad, he loses it entirely and kills his brother. Men don't know why they're wroth. Why, you've talked to folks before. You say, why aren't you so mad all the time?
Well, I don't know. What are you asking me that for?
It just goes south from there. Something's wrong with men's relationship with God. And if God doesn't accept your person because he won't accept your sacrifice, it's not up to God to change. And that's what they're doing. They're changing God. And it doesn't work that way. I wanted to just show you the next step here. Look in chapter 4, verse 7. And the Lord's talking to Cain, trying to reason with Cain. But is Cain reasonable? According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul prayed to be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, because that unreason, if somebody's unreasonable about these things, it points to them being wicked. There is a moral issue involved with a man that will not be reasoned with about the truth. He does not want the truth. He's a wicked man. And so from that perspective, verse 6, Lord said to Cain, try to talk to Cain. Come, let us reason together, Cain. We can talk this out. Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? Why are you so mad? Why are you acting like this? Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? I just want to say, even to this point with Cain, having not been respected, having in fact been rejected, having had his person rejected, acceptance is still not that far away. Here is God still talking to Cain. Cain is mad clear through. And he still says, just calm down. Just calm down. If you do right, everything will be all right. Acceptance is not that far away. But there's another thing that's not very far away. If thou, Cain, doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And that's what happened to Cain. Cain suffered complete subjugation. Cain crossed a threshold where he refused to listen to the voice of God, would not accept the Lord's attempts to reconcile him, and he crossed a threshold somewhere where he served sin. The complete subjugation to sin. And so down in verse 7, God's talking to him. And Cain, verse 8, talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And now the Lord comes back to Cain yet again to talk to Cain. Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Smart aleck. Smart aleck, right? See, there are worse things than not feeling you're being respected. You have a bunch of people in this world that are mad clear through over anything that rises up. There are worse things than being not respected. Cain, God did not respect him, his person. He did not respect his offering. But it gets worse from there. Cain crosses a threshold, kills his brother. And would you notice by the time you get down to verse 10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Well, you know what that is? Cain is now guilty. He's guilty clear through. He's guilty of more than he thought possible. He would have never thought that he would lose his temper to the point of slaying his brother with his own two hands. But that's what sin does, doesn't it? Haven't you learned that? Haven't you learned that once sin gets a hold of you, it takes you a lot further than you expected to go? And so Cain is guilty. And so now, not only does he have to deal with what he did, but he has to feel guilty for what he did. He's carrying a burden of guilt that he didn't have to carry before. He still could have gone back and offered that proper sacrifice. God would still have accepted his person along with the sacrifice. But Cain didn't do that. Cain was subject to sin. And he goes that route. Now he's guilty. Verse 11. Now he's cursed. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee the her strength. He's cursed from this point. Of Jesus Christ, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. But if you won't receive Jesus Christ, guess where the curse rests? It's still with you. It's still with you. There are worse things than no respect. Cain's guilty. Cain is now cursed. In verse 12, he's a fugitive and a vagabond. There's no place to rest. He just never finds a place to lay down and just get some rest. He never finds a place to settle. Now, the Bible says he gets married and has kids, but somehow he's still a vagabond and a fugitive. A fugitive is somebody that runs from the law all the time. He's always scared. He's always running from somebody. I know people like that. You know people like that. You know people that live this life. Their person was not accepted because the sacrifice was not accepted. They offered themselves. They may have offered religion, but they never offered Jesus Christ. And so they're unacceptable. They're not respected. And so they feel that lack of respect with God. And so they live their lives before men with a chip on their shoulder. And they're busy just going about doing evil and doing wicked, trying to live like the devil. In verse 13, something else that should ring our bells in this day and age. Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment's greater than I can bear." He becomes a whiner, a self-obsessed whiner. As far as I can tell, he spends the rest of his life running around feeling sorry for himself and talking about how hard God's been on him. Does that ring any bells? You know where that comes from? It comes from not having a proper sacrifice. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, Abel, in his right mind, can never envy Cain. Are you saved? You would be absolutely nuts to envy Cain. A man whose person is not accepted, a man whose sacrifice is not accepted, he's cursed, he's guilty, he's a vagabond, he's a servant to sin, he's a whiner. Do you know anybody like that? Well, Hollywood is filled with them. The entertainment industry is filled with them. The news is filled with them. In fact, where you work is probably filled with them. You have no business envying the lives that they live, and yet Christians envy it all the time. In verse 15, Cain becomes a marked man. I don't know the full nature of that mark. There's been all kinds of things talked about, but the Lord in verse 15 set a mark upon Cain. I don't believe that was a racial mark. I don't know if it was a color. I don't know if it was a dot. I don't know if it was a slash. I don't know if it was a 666. I'm not sure if it was a barcode. I don't know. But I know that God marked him. From that point on, he was a marked man. And verse 16, he left God's presence and never returned. Now, I'm going to close here in a second, but this is pretty cool. Look in one more passage that references Cain. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I preached this morning without probably very many lost people here. But I preach it because sometimes you look around and you see Christians behaving almost like Cain, and that's a sad thing, because both your person and sacrifice have been accepted in Jesus Christ. And you have no reason to have a chip on your shoulder. You now have no reason to think that you're the center of God's universe, because you're not. I mean, you're acceptable through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now look in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me point this out to you. 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, Cain's sacrifice was disrespected. Cain was disrespected along with his sacrifice. Cain's offering was rejected. Cain's offering was not accepted. Cain's offering was jettisoned, forgotten about, unacceptable, not right. You realize what this is saying? This is saying that one person, two persons, one person comes to God with the right sacrifice, and that's earmarked as excellent. And we normally put excellent on this end of the scale and poor or unacceptable down on that end of the scale. I mean, my lettuce today might not be excellent. It may just be mediocre. You know, this time of the year, the watermelons start getting a little bit, you know, mealy at Cub Foods. You know, 2 months ago, boy, they were really, really sweet. But now we're not getting excellent watermelons. We're just getting kind of okay watermelons. And by June or January, they'll be really bad watermelons. There's no scale. In this passage, the sacrifice that Abel offered was excellent, and the sacrifice that Cain offered was completely unacceptable. There is no sliding scale in between. You're either saved or you're lost. You have a sacrifice that's excellent or one that's entirely rejected. There is no in between. The cross is the dividing line. And everything on one side is completely rejected and abominable. And it all goes to hell and burns. And everything on this side is all very excellent because of Jesus Christ. So here you have two brothers. And the actions here on this day led to murder, the first murder, and a lot of other things that came with it. And it all boiled down to the fact that Cain's person was not accepted, in fact disrespected by God, because his sacrifice was not acceptable. And Cain spent the rest of his life with a chip on his shoulder, spent the rest of his life cursed, a vagabond. And sometimes you look around and you see Christians that just aren't happy. And look, if you're under an audit, I understand that you're not going to be joyous about that. I get that. If you're sick and hurting, I understand that you're not going to be doing back springs, okay, somersaults. But you can still have joy. And there's a joy to be had under any circumstances if you're not going to hell. So I urge upon you this morning, if there's somebody here that's never trusted Christ as your Savior, this sermon was not about race. It really wasn't about gender. It wasn't even about sexuality. It was about a whole bunch of stuff that plagues men that are fallen just in their natural way of thinking. And because they've been, they're a sacrifice, their person's been rejected by God, they're never happy. The key to your life is a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, he says. Let's pray. Father, I don't know how